You are now listening to Cinema Cabinet with your hosts, Ted Evans and Wayne Burfine.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ted Evans, and with me, of course, is my co-host.
Hi, everybody. It's Wayne
Burfine. That's your name, Wayne Burfine. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. How about yourself? You seem a little more down. Are you sad that the weather's changed?
Oh, I hate the weather. God, I hate the weather. I'm angry about the snow. I'm a little tired because I did not get too much sleep last night. But I am excited for a viewing of The Strangers tonight.
Oh, it's going to be so good. You're going to lose your mind again. We're going to live tweet it, too. Right?
I think the one thing I'm most scared of is watching it and having it not be as good as I remember. That's the only thing I'm terrified of.
Yeah, it happens.
Like, I just have this, like, you know when you're, like, you have this great memory, and then you watch it, or you see it, or you hear about it again, and you're just like, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's what I'm terrified of. Ugh, I'm sorry for yawning. Anyhow, we recently saw Looper.
Oh my god, I loved Looper!
Did you love it?
I really had low expectations of it.
Oh really?
And then a couple people were like, no, it's actually pretty good. And I thought it was great for several reasons.
Okay, why don't we delve into it? What's the story of Looper?
Looper is actually a term. Right? No. God damn it. No, I don't remember.
It's the name of the people.
Okay. So in the future, they invent time travel, but it's illegal. So what they do in the future is they've kind of sort of got...
The mob is taking it over.
The what?
The mob is taking it over.
Right. The mob is... which apparently are Amish. Because in the scenes, they show them in those Amish get-ups with the hats and the... I really thought they were like... Yeah.
I guess they are Amish-esque.
Amish-ish.
Amish-ish.
All right. Anyway, so they'll send someone back in time for... What were those guys called again? I forget what they were called now. The guys that actually did the killing with the blunderbusts.
The Loopers.
Yeah, the Loopers would kill them. Bam! The guy would show up. They'd know the exact time, the exact location. And the person would pop in and they'd have a hood on and a jacket. Or
like,
restraint.
It's really split second.
It's like pop,
boom,
bam!
Boom, done.
Yeah.
So what happens is, the reason why they're called...
they have to do this, though. They have to send back a thing, because in the future, apparently, you can't dispose of a body because people have tracking devices.
Yeah, something, or they're tagged or something
they're
like
tagged.
That. So, like, they'll find the body or something like that. Okay, so that's what's happened.
And they get paid in silver.
Right, silver bars.
Bars. So, yeah, the silver bars are strapped to their mark. That's why they get paid.
They're strapped to the mark.
Don't talk and yawn.
Ugh, sorry. They're strapped to the mark. They get forced back into the past. They get shot. Silver's taken off their body. The body's disposed of. Silver's turned in. They get cash that they can then use and then go on with their lives.
They do a lot of drugs, apparently.
Yeah, and the drugs are like eyedroppers.
Yeah, drop. When's the last time you dropped?
Yeah, it's weird. That was the one thing that kind of weirded me out.
Seemed a lot like ecstasy, but controllable because they were driving as well while it was happening, apparently.
Yeah. They didn't really show it. They didn't really show what life was like through their eyes when they were drugged out.
No, they did a couple times with him, when he was staring up at the sky, and it was just like everything was just like, whoa.
Okay, I thought that was when he was coming down.
Oh, he was still smiling.
Okay. Well, maybe I missed that. Anyhow, so it's basically like old 60s, but futuristic 60s.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I looked at it. It was like 50, 60s gangster kind of movie, but in the future.
2044.
Is that what they date?
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive it's 2044.
It's not smart to give dates.
No, it's not. Because I want a goddamn motorcycle, floating motorcycle. But I also don't think they're going to have fits. A 2012 fit with vacuum hoses on it.
That's true.
Future.
That's true. So they kind of date stuff. But it's cool. It's a cool setup. The reason why they're called Loopers is because eventually they have to kill their future selves.
And they all know this.
They all know it. It's not like it's a surprise. You have to kill your future self to close the loop.
You close your deal. Basically, close the loop or close your contract. And you get gold. You get a bigger payout.
You get a bigger payout for killing yourself, your future self. And by doing that, you also get to go on with your life and stuff. I don't understand why they don't just have... someone else killed future you.
Yeah.
Seems weird. I just thought about that. Why would you not have someone else kill them?
Well, because what are they going to do? They're just going to loop back to getting killed again. So there's no remorse. And you, because of the hood, you don't know. You're not supposed to know who it is until they're dead. And you,
and then you realize you
take your payment, and it's gold bars instead of the silver bars.
Yeah, that's basically like your walking papers. That means that you are not allowed to go walk.
Yeah, it's the gold bars where their pink slip.
So that's what happens. That's the joy of it. He's in love with a prostitute.
Oh, terribly in love with a prostitute.
And she's amazing. That's Piper Perabo show. I totally get it.
Yeah.
But then finally one day, his friend is supposed to close his loop, but doesn't kill his future self.
Seth, because his old self is singing a song that his mother would sing him. So when he pop, and the thing is like, every single scene, it's like, nobody pop, you see the body, and then bang, and then I'm even doing it slower than it actually happens. It's like pop, it's like, bang. Pop bang, yeah, pop bang. Like I don't think you could. There's no song that fast that I could catch on to.
Well, like each reason is different. It's because like they don't show Seth how he does it. They show just how
Joseph true. Gordon so left. Seth might have like a closing phrase, kind of like, "Oh, you'll not be back."
Bang. Or maybe the guy pops up and he just goes, "Oh, he's here." Boom. But what happened here is he heard the song.
Yeah.
The whole Joseph Gordon-Levitt thing is normally it's always on time.
Yeah.
This time it's late.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? Because he keeps looking at his watch and being like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah. They tell you it's 11:30 and we're at 11:34 or something. It still hasn't happened and you can see it in his face. And speaking of face, Gordon-Levitt's face had to hurt after doing
with the prosthetics.
Movie. Prosthetics, and he was scowling. He did an amazing job of being.
Oh, he has the best.
Bruce Willis. He was amazing. There's several times where I was like, that's not him.
Oh, yeah. He's got a new life skill. Yeah. Like, what are your skills? Well, I can act, I can sing, and I can do a really great Bruce Willis impression.
I can also do a backflip.
But the Bruce Willis impression is a little more
cool
than the backflip.
It's a little more fingers crossed that Bruce Willis has to go back in time as himself and you need a younger him.
I don't know. I think that could come in handy anytime. Like, do your Bruce Willis, man. Really?
And he pulls up a prosthetic nose, I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Emily Blunt's in this.
Yeah.
She is the mother of this kid that has psychic abilities.
Yeah.
Telekinetic abilities.
TK.
TK.
They talk about TKing so much.
So, well, that's the thing. Is some people, like, they get it done.
Yeah.
Like, they're not born with it. They just get it done. And in this case, she got it done, then had the kid, and the kid inherited.
They talked about a mutation, that some people were born with it. There was a mutation.
Yeah. But his is really super intense.
So Emily Blunt plays Sarah, who had a different lifestyle, so having a child wasn't a part of her plan, so she gave her son to her sister, who was more than happy because they couldn't have kids.
Right.
So,
but then what happened is the kid, Sid. Yeah, the kid, Sid.
Who was fucking adorable. God, that kid was good in this movie. He was so good playing super smart.
He fell off a bookshelf and flipped out. His telekinetic powers went out of control and destroyed his Emily Blunt's sister and her husband.
But they tell you this after they demonstrate what may have happened when the bad guys show up to the farmhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And that was one of the most awesome. There's so many awesome scenes in here.
The two effects that we
laughed out loud at the hardest was the realizing that it was him in the loop. When Bruce Willis shows up. And they do the original, like, oh, but then when they do the cutaway from, he throws the brick at him, he just comes up and just hits him once, and just how Gordon hits the ground, just like, ah! I think he let out a little squeal.
Oh my God, yeah, let's talk about that scene. So basically what happens is they show how it went down from a distance, right?
Yeah.
Because the first time they show it is from Joseph Gordon-Levitt's experience.
Yeah.
Which is,
the
he realizes who it is, the hesitation was enough for Bruce Willis to turn his back so that he shoots the gold.
Yeah.
Then he grabs one of the gold bars and
throws it at
him.
Yeah, he flinches like a sissy girl's never had anything thrown at him ever before.
And then when he looks bad, Bruce Willis is there and punches him in the face. He goes down.
Drops like a
The
sack.
Second time they show it, yeah, is from a distance.
And we
And you see the whole thing. Because it's all in real time, not fast forward.
Right. There's no
So
cuts,
you see
nothing.
Him like, look, turn, get shot, throw the brick, just going to let it flinch. And then Bruce Willis kind of run, hit him. And then runs off into the cornfield. Because Joseph Gordon-Levitt just goes down.
Glass Jaw Joe.
Glass Jaw Joe.
Oh my
it was
God.
It was a really funny scene.
We laughed.
Really
we
well
laughed
done.
Harder than we should have.
Oh, really well done.
It was. And that's the other thing, too. This movie was shot very well. The story. And the whole thing about time travel. All these other movies that do time travel, they're like, well, this is the science behind it. And they're just... In this movie, they're like, eh, we got a thing.
It well, that was the thing. I told you once we got out of the theater was I said, this movie... unapologetically does not explain things.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
It doesn't take away from anything.
No. No, it's really good. It's almost like... It's like movie rank.
And, well, the thing about the two is that what made me chuckle was just like the, how much they gave a shit about this time machine is it actually looked like the studio guys were like, I can do macrame and I've got some chicken wire. That kind of looks like a time machine with this paint and
yeah.
these stickers.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It definitely looked it. Like it was
You got some Christmas lights? Oh, fuck yeah, I got Christmas lights. I'm a studio guy.
It looked like it was done by a bunch of kids.
It really, I think it was done by first term, like, art student. It was just, it didn't matter.
But it was fantastic because it looks like something that you wouldn't be able to have to slam.
Yeah, it looked like an illegal object. Yeah. It almost looked like a bomb, I guess, basically, because
yeah.
it was a hatch. But yeah, unapologetically, like, yeah, they travel in time. Oh, this is what does it. Let's get on with the story. Like,
yeah,
okay.
Come on. Can we just move past this, guys? Why do we have to make this a big deal?
Right.
Oh, God, you just farted. Anyhow, oh, my God. The other thing that's really great about this movie is that they show what would have happened had he closed the loop properly.
Yes. The original, what gave us... Old Joe. What gave us Old Joe was he did close the deal. He killed himself, realized what happened. He closed out. He went to Singapore. He wanted to go to France, but because evil Jeff Daniels, he's not going to be called Abe ever. He's
you
going to be
love
evil,
calling him evil Jeff Daniels.
Evil Jeff Daniels, because he still looked like the dude, Dumb and Dumber dude.
When we were watching the movie, he literally looks over me and goes, I have been waiting for evil Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels. I was just like, wow, man, really? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You were so excited.
I was very excited. But anyway, but it always starts out, it always shows with Joe or Joseph Gordon learning French, and he's like, I'm going to go to France. And he's like, you should go to China. You should probably go to China. You should go to China. So he does travel.
Yeah, why does he keep saying that?
Well, so he can go on his path of meeting, I don't know, why to add better story so he does meet the love of his life that makes him want to live, makes him want to look like Mickey Rourke in the one scene where the makeup they did on him, where they added that hair, it was like, is this no, that's Mickey
oh
Rourke.
Oh my God.
Right? Oh my God.
Yeah, at a certain point, they have him like...
Young, they try to make Bruce Willis look young and it did not work.
It did not work at
all.
No,
he looked worse.
Oh, that looks so wrong.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? What was that movie with Billy Bob Thornton he did?
Sling Blade?
No.
Robbers.
Bruce Willis did a Billy Bob Thornton movie where they were like thieves. They
robbers?
Were like bank robbers.
Robbers? Robbers.
Was it called Robbers?
I think it was.
No.
I know it was a dumb name, but they break in,
they
kidnap
fighting
a
over
bank
a
family. They kidnap a bank family to get into a bank the next day or something like that, right?
The Sleepover Robbers or something like that.
No, it's a really dumb name. I remember now. I know what you're talking about, but that was a dumb movie. I saw it, but I didn't. Just it was not a good movie.
But it looked like Bruce Willis's hair from that movie.
Yeah,
because they did a really fucked up job with his hair in that movie.
But so while he's in Shanghai, he uses it. He doesn't lose it. He just spends his money because you know he had so much, and he was living in a having a good life, but he did
bandits.
Bandits. See? Pretty stupid.
Bandits was the name of that movie. Look at that hair.
So he uses it, but so now he's got to go to other means to make money, so he kind of gets into the... No, he still looks better in that than he did in this movie. So he's got to start basically getting in with the Chinese mob, apparently, and he's a killer. He doesn't care, because he's been killing since he was a little boy because he was a looper. Yeah. Another one of those orphan recruits, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in
everyone, James apparently Bond. Orphans make really good killers.
Yeah.
We've learned or that prostitutes. In the last couple movies.
And then he meets the love of his life, but apparently he has a drug addiction, but then his wife gets him off of that, and he decides he wants to live, and he wants to avenge the death of his wife. So that's where we loop back to Joseph Gordon fucking up the kill. He actually sends himself back in time, because, I mean, Bruce Willis is a badass in this. I mean, there's some great fight scenes that
Bruce Willis does a really good job. I like the scenes where they, like, with Seth, the friend, and with Bruce Willis' character, like, whenever they want to leave a note for each other.
Oh, my God. How crazy was that? They take the younger and they scar up their bodies, and it just shows up as they get older. But with Seth, when they're trying to get old Seth back,
they just start cutting off pieces.
Be here at this time is carved into his arm.
And they cut off a finger.
Three fingers, and then his nose, tip of his nose.
Oh, my God.
God, and then he gets back there. As soon as he opens up the door, bang!
Yeah.
And then you see in the background, the dock door has this bloody heap in a... Oh, God.
And then it kills him. Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Well, then they should have just killed him, then it would have gotten rid of...
No, because they had to close the loop properly. First, they had to kill the grown-up, then they kill the kid. Because the kid's supposed to have already existed.
Yeah, but then that situation would have never happened, and then that would have messed up a lot of, like, maybe they had kids or something? I don't know.
We don't know what happened.
No, we don't. They really didn't say that they killed him. They just kind of shut the door after you see what is happening.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe
I don't think they ever really said that they killed him.
Maybe he's being kept alive in a test tube somewhere.
Right?
I'd like to think that his penis is floating in a jar somewhere.
You're losing energy, dude.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm the loud and animated one in this episode. You're my co-host this time.
I am.
Holy shit, Ted Evans.
Lead us forward, Wayne.
All right. So the looper escapes and he runs off. And he tries to find out where the Rainmaker
was born.
Where the Rainmaker
is the one who's closing all the loops.
Yeah, he somehow in the future he's accelerated all of these loopers getting killed.
Because normally they're spaced out over time, but now the Rainmaker apparently has some sort of vendetta against the loopers and is closing all the loops. So Bruce Willis
obediently
has gone back in time to find who, to find out who the Rainmaker, like where he's
because his buddy gives him some weird code,
of where to find.
And so Bruce Willis breaks into a library, which has very well sealed up books, and it's late night. But
it's all on a computer. He just looks it all up on.
But they all had books in the background that were all wrapped up, so to protect them, because people still cherish books. But yeah, he just types in a couple of numbers. He seems to know exactly what he's doing now. Prints out a gargantuan map at the library, which we all know would have cost us like $5 to do. And so he marks off all these areas where he can find potential, because there's only three that he's got to find.
Yes, so Bruce Willis goes back in time to find these three kids and to kill all three kids because one of them is the Rainmaker.
Yeah.
And the Rainmaker is the reason for all this strife. The Rainmaker is responsible for his wife in the future's
time
death.
Travel?
Everything. So, Joseph Gordon-Levitt happens to go to the right one on the first shot. And then we are submitted to Bruce Willis killing a kid.
Yeah.
Which really fucked with me.
Oh, it fucked with him too. That's what I really thought was good about this. Like, he kills him knowing that this will fix everything. Get his wife back, but he loses his shit killing that kid, realizing it was the wrong kid, and he's even like, I am sorry about that. Like, and then you see he walks away, and he just starts bawling.
Oh, yeah. He goes into a
very remorseful
at no point is Bruce Willis like, I'm this evil son of a bitch.
Right.
He's like, I just want my wife to be
okay. He just wants to survive. He just wants his wife back.
So finally, Cut to the Joseph Gordon-Levitt part of the story. He is staying with Emily Blunt on her farm with her kid. that he discovers has telekinesis.
You know, one of the most awesome scenes in a movie ever.
Yeah. And then he's like, your son's the Rainmaker. Yeah. You lied to me. You know exactly what I was looking for. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Your son is him. He's evil. Yeah. Like, he's going to cause shit. And she's like, no, not if he's with me. If I get to influence him, he could be amazing. And he's like, your son kills people.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, you don't understand. With my love, he'll be okay.
Yeah.
And basically, Bruce Willis shows up to kill the kid. And the kid gets grazed with a bullet.
Right in the face.
Starts to flip out.
Like, shit's levitating, and he's all, and then there's a burst.
And then all of a sudden, he catches eyes with his mom, Emily Blunt, and she says, it's okay.
It's okay, baby.
Yeah, it's okay. Mommy's here. I love you. Everything's okay. And then he calms down, and you realize that she's right.
Yeah.
With her guidance,
yeah,
this kid is going to grow up and be okay.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis doesn't care.
No.
This is still the Rainmaker.
Yeah.
So he goes up to kill the kid. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's too far away to stop Bruce Willis with his own gun.
His blunderbuss, which is only accurate in like 15 feet-ish or less.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the fuck is with that blunderbuss? I mean, it's a cylinder, but somehow it's got like 12 rounds in it, too.
It's got unlimited rounds.
And he's got to cock it weird, and oh my God, it was the dumbest weapon I'd seen in my life ever.
Just dumb. Let the weapon go.
It so pissed me. And everybody was, in 2044, everybody had single actions, except for the scene where he's walking around with the submachine guns.
Yeah.
God damn it, I wanted to punch things. And those cars, I mean, it made sense after you talked about, like, the solar cars, and you're like, no, it was just a kit for them. But I'm like, yeah, but those are 2012 cars. Like, that's... The only time you see anything updated was those three-wheelers, and they barely even, like,
Yeah, it's supposed to be very much the near future, or an alternate reality.
Yeah.
I like to think that's, like, an alternate Earth.
But those turbine motorcycles, which I thought... made sense. Everybody's all like, oh, these are awesome and great, but they're not reliable, which always adds to a great movie chase scene.
Yeah.
And that dude gets burnt up in the face. It was kind of funny.
Basically Bruce Willis is about to kill the kid.
Yep.
And Emily Blunt steps in front of him, tells her kid to run, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt goes, oh, shit, I'm the one who causes the Rainmaker. Yeah. Well, not me, but old me.
Yeah.
Is actually responsible.
Because the killing of his mother makes him angry, living alone by himself with nobody, kind of like how I was, and I know how angry I got, and this guy has powers. So, to fix that issue...
He kills himself.
Blunderbuss to the chest, and then old...
Which I still think he should have just blown his hand off. Blow your hand off.
Yeah, the hand that he's holding. The gun just kaboom, but
yeah,
it's
really
far
quick.
It's far more dramatic.
That's going to give you enough time to get away.
But then he'll just keep coming.
No, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to go after him. Or Joseph Gordon-Levitt can blow off both of his hands.
Not with how that gun was set up. He would have had to try to use his toes. He would have had to recock it and then flip it weird.
Sounds reasonable. I like it.
No, I don't like it. I disagree with the two-hander.
Whatever. So
it wouldn't have been possible.
So he kills himself. Bruce Willis disappears.
Like,
Emily Blunt
gone.
Calls back her son. He comes back. They hug. She cleans up his wound. And then she goes and tends to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's body.
He actually
calls her.
He then, now the child. Yeah, there's some resentment because this child remembers his mother dying, right?
Well,
the death of his Emily Blunt's sister, which he called his mom.
Right.
And now Emily Blunt or Sarah. Keeps telling Sid that I'm mommy, and he goes, no, you're not. And he actually gets upset a couple times, and that's where you're like, whoa, something's up with this kid.
Yeah. Well, because she goes and hides in a safe.
A safe. A goddamn gun safe.
Like
she hides
full
in
on
yeah.
safe.
And then he's all, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
And she's like, it's okay, baby. Mommy loves you.
Yeah. So
just
now, and he's like,
mommy.
Not okay, Sarah. Like, he's just being a dick to her.
But, no, Sarah!
You're not my mom!
You're
a liar! Yeah, this kid was so goddamn good. This kid was so good in this movie, though. Even when he wasn't being a scary.
Let's discuss favorite parts of the movies. Let's say our top three favorite scenes. We'll wrap it up with that. Top three favorite scenes of Looper.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, when Abe, we both call it like, court's adjourned, and he just slams his hand with a gun. Oh, that was, we both were like, whoa, snapped.
Oh, my God.
God, the scene that we talked about, the live action scene of Bruce Willis getting shot in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Jump, throws it, comes over, bam! And then the goddamn explosion of the bad guy in the living room.
That was awesome, too.
Yeah. This is a really...
I would say my top three favorite scenes were the running and punching. That one was definitely one of my favorite scenes. Mm-hmm. The shot of Emily Blunt's hands when she's splitting wood, because her hands are all calloused and cut up and bleeding and stuff, and I'm like, how much money did they spend on prosthetics to make Emily Blunt look like she works for a living?
Well, that doesn't even have to be her hands. The way they did the cutaway, they did the close-up, those don't even have to be her hands. They actually had some guy, just some lady.
That
just
made
like,
me so sad.
Who probably is like, well, I don't feel anyway, so you can cut me.
It's like, don't pretend this is real.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt has never worked a day in her life. Well, I mean, she might have. I don't think so.
And then your last
scene. And my last scene was probably the explosion scene. I mean, that was just, it was really well done together, because you see the kid falling down the stairs, Joseph Gordon-Levitt going to save the kid, and then
Emily Blunt's Emily like, no, wrong idea.
Well, Emily Blunt's heading towards him, and you think like, oh, she sees that he's a good guy. Then she like tackles him out the door.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? What a bad mom. And then all of a sudden the kid gets up, and I was just like, oh, shit, something's about to happen. Then you see the guy's body raise up and explode.
Gun out of his hand, like all the small objects go, and then all the everything starts floating. Ugh. And then just that effect of the blood coming out of him, like pouring water, and then just kaboosh.
Oh, God.
And so, oh, and then when she goes out in the cornfield to find Sid, and he's just covered in blood, and you can see where he's crying, though.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
very upset. That was another awesome scene, too. Just him covered in blood, just like, what the fuck did I do?
Like, just out of carry.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So, great movie.
Yeah.
We both agreed it was a great movie.
It was very good.
Are there plot holes? Definitely.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
No.
Do you know why? The movie says so.
It's a goddamn movie.
It's perfect. It's one of those movies that, yeah, you could probably nitpick if you really wanted to.
You could nitpick the shit out of it.
The movie flat out just goes, look, just like it.
It's got great flow to it. It was done very well. Joseph Gordon did a great job. Bruce Willis was great in it. Everybody.
Emily Blunt was great in it.
Sid was fantastic. What was that little boy's name?
Amazing.
God, he was so goddamn.
Well,
Pierce Gannon.
Gannon?
He's
got a future in acting.
Totally. I mean,
unless he fucks it up, I'm really terrified that he might have.
He'll start dropping.
I think he has the. He might have the Jerry Maguire disease.
Oh,
the
no.
kid in Jerry Maguire. Remember how cute? And everyone was like, "Oh my god, he's so good." And blah, blah,
oh
blah,
no,
blah.
No! You, I could see that kid's face. That kid's adorable now, and he's not going to have a future in 5-10 years.
Yeah,
this kid definitely. I think so.
Well, hopefully, he's got a rich future. That has been Cinema Cabin. Oh god,
this has been Cinema Catnip. This is Wayne Burfine.
And I'm Ted Evans.
Have a great night, everybody.
Bye.
Meow.
Ah, shit.
Thank you for listening to Cinema Catnip. To contact Ted or Wayne, email them, cinemacatnip@gmail.com, or contact them on Twitter. Wayne Burfine's @MCDS_orange, or Ted Evans @TedEvans0107. If this is an emergency, dial 911.